on 1116 SEN. Hungry for sport with Kevin Bartlett for Penfold Mazda, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family.
9:07, good morning and welcome to the program. A big load has been lifted off the shoulders of Mick Malthouse and a big load has been lifted off the Carlton board. This marriage was not working. Both had been dancing around each other for most of the season, throwing jabs and counterpunching in a war of words and pretending they both were on the same page. By yesterday, it was all over. Mick's circuit-breaking interview on Morning Glory ended the association that both were looking for. It will be fascinating to see how the playing side of things respond. AFL players are very resilient, and the sacking of a coach seems to be a distant memory within 24 hours. John Barker has a chance to freshen up the minds of the players and release any shackles carried by the group. Back on May the 2nd, I was hearing from a considered source that the Blues had eyes for one Stuart Jew. He was then, and I believe now, the man most wanted. I'm KB. That's my take.
It doesn't go well for Mick. There hasn't been any love at this stage. There's nothing more that Mick Malthouse can show the Carlton Football Club.
No.
Look, the name that I keep hearing all the time, and I know there's a lot of names always going around this time of the year, but the name that I'm actually hearing that Carlton's very interested in is Stuart Jew, who's assistant coach of the Sydney Swans today.
Like Stuart Jew, you go out and get these blokes and they can deliver for you. Nine of the last 10 premiership coaches have come on with their side, have been untried coaches who have come on and developed the list, but it's not like you can't just go out and get a young coach and he won't discover premiership for you.
9429116 is our famous talkback number. Don't forget the buzz, Johnny Ralph is about to join us. We just heard him then. Also, he's jumping on the Stuart Jew bandwagon. 0433981116 if you want to tweet at KevinBartlett29 or you can tweet at Hungry for Sport. So the buzz will join us taking your calls. You can always set the sporting agenda, what's on your mind. Also, I want to catch up with Brett Phillips and all the tennis overnight from the French. Frank Panisi will join us, State of Origin tonight. Rowan Dummett, of course, can always give you a golf lesson on radio. And Martin Blake today is going to join us from 11 o'clock, taking your calls on all things sport. But coming up, the buzz.
Well, I'm a king bee, baby. Want you to be my queen. Together we can make honey.
On Hungry for Sports, John Ralph.
Get on to Johnny Ralph.
And we did, Jeffrey, because he was a very busy man yesterday, writing stories and appearing on Fox Footy every 5 minutes. G'day, Buzz.
Hello, Kevin. I never thought we'd see this day. Mick Malthouse was the AFL's great survivor, wasn't he? He railed against the media and he railed against Father Time, and I just thought that he would go out like Lee Matthews, at the top of his game, on his own terms. But as soon as he lost his confidence in Greg Swan and Stephen Kernahan, he got insecure, and that was the fatal weakness. And then he began to turn on the club, and then there were the mixed messages, and then there was the insecurity about whether his assistants or his players would deal with a rebuild and deal with the insecurity of him being out of contract. Of course, it came to a head yesterday. That SEN interview, it was absolutely deliberate, and it was calculated. Make no mistake about that. He wanted to end his career on his own terms. He wanted Carlton to sack him, and that's exactly what happened. And he probably tried to take Stephen Trigg with him, but yeah, that's okay. That's what Mick's always been about. Some people have said it might affect his legacy. You know what? Mick's always been a tough, hard bugger. Mm. He's always been fragile in terms of his confidence, but he's always been someone who's prepared to rail at his critics. So, you know, in 5 years, his legacy will be undiminished. He'll be standing up there as the AFL Hall of Fame legend, and he'll be going out saying, and our perception of him will be exactly the same as it's always been. A mighty, mighty coach who's had difficult relationships with the media, but great relationships with his players. And for the most part, got a huge amount out of his playing group.
What's going to be the response now? I'd like to hear from Carlton fans. What do you think the response is going to be from the playing group and the club for the remainder of the season? I said in my take that most of the time players take about 24 hours to get over a coach being sacked, and then they just get on with playing football. Now, the fact that they're going to have a new coach, is that going to release the shackles? It probably will, because when you look at some of the coaches in the past after they've been sacked and, you know, new people have come in, you know, generally there's a response. Maybe there's just that load, that weight is off their shoulders, which has been hovering around a club for a long, long time. I can recall Jeff Geeshan when he took over from Robert Walls got sacked. I think they got beaten by, I don't know, 130 points, I think it was from Adelaide. They were playing the Bulldogs. I think it was one of the top sides the following week, and they got up and they won. Greg Hutchison, I remember Greg Hutchison took over from Barmy, and Melbourne couldn't win a side, took over from Barmy and pulled off a miracle win. So can Carlton pull off a miracle win over the Sydney Swans? I'd like to hear from Carlton fans. Most people seem to think prior to Mick being sacked that maybe it was going to be a 20-goal drubbing or a 15-goal drubbing. Will it be a 10-goal drubbing? Could it be a 6-goal hard-fought, you know, loss by the Carlton Football Club? Or could the Mighty Blues pull off one of the greatest victories in the history of the game?
So often you see coaches who come in as interim coaches, and they've basically got the same methodology of that senior coach. You know, they're in lockstep with them, pretty similar game plan. You won't see two more polar opposites than John Barker and Mick Malthouse. Mick Malthouse, very defensive game plan, very stodgy, you know, very serious sort of man. Not a lot of fun. John Barker, the life of the party.
Is he?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know anything about John Barker.
Absolutely gregarious figure. Super, really well respected, as Mick was. But I would imagine that they'll be throwing the ball inside the corridor a lot more. Look, he hasn't got a lot to work with. Carlton officially this morning have already ruled out Chris Judd and Bryce Gibbs. But I think the Carlton footy players will have some more fun at training. They'll be doing some more hijinks. They will be... I think they'll be invigorated by him because this has been a huge weight on their shoulders. So, look, will I lose by 6 goals, 8 goals, 10 goals? I'm not sure. What I'd love to ask the Carlton faithful is what...
Could they win?
Don't be silly. Well, don't be silly.
People didn't think Melbourne could win when Greg Hutchison took over.
You've got to have some cattle
Jeff
out Geeshan there.
Took over, they didn't think they could win.
Well, I don't think they can win. But I think what he will do, I think he will lessen the reliance on taggers. I mean, Carlton has had maybe as many as 5 taggers in their side every week. Will he bring in Blaine Bokhurst? Will he bring in Matthew Watson?
So what's his strategy? So ask Carlton fans this as well. What should be John Barker's strategy? Because Mark Lejeudichet said yesterday, they haven't given up on 2015 as a season. So... Maybe, I mean, they don't want him maybe just to go out there and not be competitive. They haven't given up on the season. They want Carlton to be very, very competitive for the remainder of the season. Well, so is it just, you know, the strategies that he's going to bring into the side and, as you say, the release of certain players to play a certain way?
I think Carlton fans want to see quicker ball movement. They want to see greater risks. They want to see more of the ball being delivered through the corridor. I think they probably want to bring Matthew Watson in to see if he's any good.
Does he play? Now, if you bring someone in like Matthew Watson, the last game last year, he played up forward. He was a bit of a surprise inclusion up forward. Did he kick 4 or 5 goals up forward? I don't know how many times he's played up forward this year. But, you know, maybe if he has a string of games, is he capable of kicking 4 or 5 goals? He's a beautiful kick, can take quite a strong mark. Obviously, he hasn't worked down back. So there's not much point in playing him down back anymore, is there?
Well, Mick said last week, look, we haven't really got anyone to play on Tommy Hawkins. We wanted to play Jamison. He was injured. We wanted to play someone else.
But they
held
Tommy Hawkins.
And so all
Rowe did a great job on Hawkins.
They did. But they were so desperate to play someone on him that they were going to play Matthew Cruiser on him, and then he got injured as well. Look, they've got Christian Jacks there. I mean, you've got to give him a few weeks to see if he's any good. They've got Matthew Watson there. You've got 14 weeks as a coach to see whether he's any good. So I think... bring some of those kids in, get some ball movement in, bring some fun back. There's no way that they can beat Sydney, but they can have a crack. It's going to be a lot more of a relaxed place there. And I think some of the tension that Malthouse built up, some of that antagonism towards the board, and some of that pressure, that's going to be released. Mm. And amazing things can happen when you are when the pressure's off, when the shackles have been thrown off. Mm. Well, I think they can get within 6 goals of Sydney. They can't beat them. They cannot beat Sydney on Friday night.
John Worsfold, has he pulled out of the coaching position?
He has. He spoke to, I think, Channel 7 last night and said that he wasn't interested. I spoke to Mark Brayshaw, the coach's boss, and he said that he'd be staggered if he put his hand up. As soon as he puts his hand up to even be approached by a club, he has to step down as the chairman of the Coaches Association, and he's not willing to do that. Look, you got some mail on Stuart Dew, and it continues to get stronger and stronger. Now, Carlton have put together their first exhaustive search process in 150 years. Isn't that amazing? The first time they'll actually go to the market and not have an idea who they want to coach.
But I think they've got an idea.
No doubt they do. But I think we need to be wary, Kevin. I reckon we've tried to predict who will be the next coach of so many clubs over the last 5 years. We almost invariably get it wrong. I spoke to Warren Treadray yesterday. He said he used to be a prankster. He used to just go out in the training track and try and kick those inverse torpedoes. But now he is the midfield coach and the leading assistant of one of the best midfields in the game. He's in lockstep himself with John Longmire. He reports to John Longmire. You could do a lot worse.
Well, also I want to ask this to the Carlton fans. If you could have a choice of anyone that you could get to coach Carlton next year, and Patrick Smith says that, you know, Carlton's got to go and ask the question to Alistair Clarkson. Let's just say, for instance, Hawthorn doesn't have their three-peat this year. Just say they finish sixth or seventh or something like that. They're 4-4 at the moment, and it doesn't go to plan. I mean, is Alistair Clarkson after, how long has he been at the club now for?
This is his 11th year.
11th year. So does he go around for the 12th year, or does he take on up a new challenge? So Patrick is suggesting, you know, go and ask the question anyway to Alistair Clarkson and see whether or not he's interested in taking up this challenge. So that's the question I'd put to the Carlton fans as well. If you had the choice of anyone for your club to approach, anyone to approach, who would be the person that you would approach on behalf of your club to say, will you coach Carlton? Now, it might be a Stuart Dew, it might be an Alistair Clarkson, it might be a Ross Lyon.
For me, it'd be a Ross Lyon. I just love what he's doing. He's dog hungry. His players are dog hungry. But the problem is, you could offer him $5 million, and you could say, you could bring Nathan Fyfe with you. Yeah. I still don't think he'd want to coach Carlton.
He may not, but who do you approach? That's the point. Who would you like to coach Carlton, and you'd at least make the approach to?
Yes. And the one problem for Carlton fans out there who are saying, you know what? The board is stuffed. Well, Mark Legutige brought in a special resolution late last year that basically allows him to handpick the board. He's one of only three people on a special committee.
Don't they vote anymore down at Carlton?
No, not really. So the only way for you to get on a board is basically to go through the president. So, look, I wrote stories about it. I thought that was a bizarre move for the transparency of a football club. So people might say, I'm going to roll the board. Elliot from 3RW might say, I'm going to roll the board. Well, good luck with that. So you have voted
How do you roll the board? How do you get onto the board of the Carlton Football Club, if that's the case?
By Mark Legutige giving you a tick-off.
And no, so but if you're, say you're an outsider, say you're Tom Elliott, and all of a sudden he says, I'd like to have a crack at being president or being on the board.
Yes.
Well, it might be a supporter. So you're trying to tell me there's no way you can actually get on the board?
Well, you might get a bottle of scotch, you might get a 10 roses and
say... Surely you can challenge.
No, well, no. The only way for you to get on the board is for Mark Legutige to approve you as a board member. Now, I asked him, and he said,
No elections. Is that what you're saying? There's no elections.
No, there might be an election, but the only way you could be nominated for that election is to be... mandated by that three-person committee. Now, you might be a fantastic accountant. I asked Mark this last year, and he said, okay, we think you are a very good member of the board. Just have a couple of years on the sidelines. Maybe be part of our coterie groups. And one day, we might allow you to stand for election. That is the only way you can get on the Carlton board. So if you're anyone out there that might be thinking, I might try and roll this board, good luck with that.
That sounds odd to me.
It is Carlton. It's a very unique club.
9429116, we'll come back and take your call.
Unfortunately, Mick's obvious public misalignment with the football club has resulted in a loss of trust between the club and coach. The board today considered the situation had deteriorated to such an extent that by not making a change now would only exacerbate our current position. In the coming weeks, the club will determine the makeup of an independent selection committee that will begin the process of finding the best equipped individual to coach Carlton in 2016 and beyond.
Okay, give us your critique too on the performance yesterday of the president and also the CEO at that press conference that took place yesterday with the sacking of Mick Malthouse. I can't believe, and I want to ask this to Carlton fans as we rush through our callers now, did you realise that you actually voted? Johnny Ralph is trying to tell me that you voted so that if you want to become a member of the Carlton Football Club and you want to join the board or want to run for a spot on that board, you can nominate, but doesn't mean you can actually run because the rules brought in by you, the members, say that Mark Legutige and his board will say, we don't accept your nomination to run.
Well, it was a 75% yes vote that was needed at the December 18 annual general meeting, and the members ticked it off.
Well, so as a member, were you aware that you were rubber stamping this election nominated process? So I'm a member of Carlton, so I want to run for the board. I send in my nomination. There's board members up for, obviously at some stage, they've got to be up for election.
So I send
in my nomination, I'm going to run, and they look at my nomination and say, no, we're not accepting it.
Yep. So Tom Elliott, if he wants to run, the only way he can do that is by getting the approval of the current president, Mark Legutige.
Well, I thought the idea was that club members, no one haven't got any club members down at Carlton because club members don't have a say who runs their club.
Well, I have got
So why would you want to become a member of the Carlton Football Club?
Well, that's a very good point. And so,
why?
Yes, they need to start winning games. Yes, they need to rebuild. But they also need to re-engage with their members. You know what they need to do?
No, but they're disengaging with their members. They're saying, we don't want you to actually run for the board of the Carlton Football Club.
Yes.
We don't want some crackpot out there getting a number of votes behind him or getting a swell of votes behind them to actually run for the Carlton board. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah, I wrote the story in December. They still voted for it.
No wonder they're stuffed. Stephen's in Mill Park. G'day, Steph. Steph, isn't it? Steph?
Yeah, Steph.
G'day,
yeah.
Steph.
Just going back to Friday night's game, I think as many clubs was probably under six goals or around about that was probably a reasonable result considering yesterday.
Be a good result under six goals.
Well, around about. Like if we lose by six goals instead of 20, considering the performance of yesterday, obviously from Mick Malthouse.
Do you think it's possible, Steph?
With Judd and Gibbs out, no.
Okay.
I don't think so, but at least if there's a bit more heart, then definitely they can at least show up to SCG, unlike the last few weeks.
Okay.
And they haven't really shown up at all.
You know what?
Under six goals would be fantastic.
If they lost by 20 goals, but they had a crack early on, and they still had Graham and Bokhurst and Buckley and Watson in that side, at least you're finding out something about your list.
Okay, should there be any positional changes within that side come the game against Sydney? Tim's from St Kilda. G'day, Tim.
Morning, boys. Great day today. The selfish one is gone. Now we'll get rid of the board and be right.
Can't get rid of the board, Tim. We've just worked that out. You can't even run for the board of the Carlton Football Club. Members don't count down at Carlton. I'll have to withdraw my membership of the Carlton Football Club. I wasn't aware of that.
Yes. We've been told that Wolsey wants to become a member. I think become a board member.
He's got no chance.
Well, if Mike Lagudice gets him in. They could do with a bit of footy nouse down there.
Wolsey wants to come back.
They want Wolsey and you know who else?
They
want Wolsey.
Oh, that's a bit different.
Wolsey's baseball bat will also be on the board.
Okay. Con is from Layla. G'day, Con.
Good morning, boys. I love your program. It's fantastic.
Appreciate it.
I'm actually a Carlton supporter through and through. Gentlemen, I just got a quick question before I ask my question. Who appoints Mick Malthouse as coach for Carlton Football Club?
The board.
Okay, now, quick question is, are the board responsible for the recruitment that Carlton's had the problem even before Brett Ratten days? Were the board responsible for the recruitment of players before Brett Ratten took over?
Well, the board.
I would say yes. So here we are. We're looking for million-dollar coaches when we actually wanted and we've pursued Paul Roos first. People have forgotten this. And because we're losing members at Carlton Football Club, we don't have a lot of Carlton members anymore like we used to.
We can't vote.
For the best thing, which was Mick Malthouse, just to recruit members to make money for the club.
A lot of people will say that this is people will say this is a $3 million mistake. When they appointed Mick, I mean, they probably, you know, hatched a plan 6 months out. You know, he probably agreed before that. But he was 3 years out from a premiership. He was seen to be a great list builder. He was seen to be tactically smart. I don't disagree with what they did. But, you know, as it's turned out, it's been an absolute fiasco. But you can't say to me that they shouldn't have appointed a bloke who was one of the great coaches of all time. I mean, you can't throw that at the board.
Adonis is in Brighton. G'day, Adonis.
Hey, boys. How are you going? I think Ralphie's summation of the election to the board is correct, and because that's how I understood it. And on that basis, I did not renew my membership, and I won't because they have actually shunted Kuda, who has publicly gone on record to say that he would go down to the club and be part of the club to help in whatever way he can, just for the love of the club. He doesn't even want to get paid for it. So I think that shows you the depth of the makeup of the board and the culture that permeates through that joint. In terms of your question, I think John Blakey would be a really good nomination by decision by people that know him very well. They all speak very, very highly of him, and I love the way he went about his football as a player.
He's in Sydney too, isn't he, John Blakey?
Yep, and he's been at very successful football clubs wherever he's been. He's a bit like Lee Tudor.
But they elevated Stewie Jew above John Blakey at Sydney, haven't they?
Yeah, I think he's the senior assistant because he knocked back the Melbourne position.
Okay. Another point, Adonis?
In the heat on these players, because what's been overlooked through this whole mess is that these core group of senior players are the ones that led to the demise of Brett Ratten. When we went from being a potential top four in 2012 to being beaten by the Gold Coast, smashed by St Kilda, and then missing the finals altogether. And it was on the back of that Rats lost his job. So I really hope that the media now start turning the spotlight at these people that are paid mega dollars and are just parading around like wannabes instead of really just putting their head over the ball and playing for the club and for the jumper.
I've always wondered why, Adonis, thank you for that. I've always wondered why Carlton can't get members, but I'm starting to learn now from Adonis and you why they can't get members, because they don't care. If you're a member, you should have every right as a member of your football mm-hmm. club. If you dislike something or you want someone else to be on that board or running that board or being president, and there's a groundswell or there's a group of people who want to be there, then obviously you can't vote for that person because we're not going to accept his nomination. No wonder you can't get members down there.
Yeah, we've been told that there might be a trigger for an extraordinary general meeting. I'll find that out today. I'll find out how many votes you would need. But right now, as I say, it's...
That might have to go through the board as well. Mel's from Vermont. G'day, Mel.
How are you, lads?
Good.
I'll preface my remarks on Mick about your comment on the board. I'm very sceptical about Trigg's involvement the last few weeks. You don't air your dirty linen in public. But as far as the board's concerned, I'd remind you all about 1979. All it takes is about 5,000 to 10,000 members and the money involved, that board can be overthrown. But anyway, about Mick...
Well, I'm not quite certain. I'm trying to work out that because what Johnny tells me, they've changed the constitution in some way, which makes it very, very difficult.
Yeah. You know what? What I would say about the board is that I think it's a terrible rule. It's not great for democracy. But they have stuck by Mick through all of this situation. They backed him in at every loss. Stephen Trigg, obviously by Friday night, had enough. And he threw his coach under the bus and the coach did exactly the same to him over the Eddie Betts stuff. But it's Mick that kept on raising this stuff about rebuilding and we can win every game and it's going to be destabilising. I mean, yes, the board's got faults. It's a terrible rule to not allow people to actually be on it. But I wouldn't say what they did over the last...
I can't believe Carlton members actually voted for that. I can't believe they actually voted for that.
They didn't just vote for it. They voted for it with a 75% majority.
Well, they voted away their rights as members to actually have some control over their club. If you see something as a member you don't like, mm-hmm. you always had that facility as a member to actually rally the troops and change it.
Yep. That's the fundamental right, the democratic right of a club.
Oh, I'm flabbergasted. We'll take a break. Sports Central coming up and then we'll fly through your calls. If you're a Carlton member, why did you rubber stamp that?
It's a no-go and you don't even run the risk of doing it, whether you're joking or...
You know the rules around it.
Yeah, I don't
If you do it. Touch an umpire, you put yourself in a
very dangerous
position.
We accidentally run into
them
and we get fined. So we wouldn't deliberately touch them.
I think it would be great for the player-umpire relationship, but you're not allowed to. And I think players... clearly understand that you're not allowed to, and if you do touch an umpire in any way, whether it's forceful or not, or just how you're going, you're going to come under scrutiny.
There's Brendan Goddard and Jordan Lewis on 360, not allowed to touch an umpire. Will Minson's been rubbed out for 4 weeks, so you can't touch an umpire. I'd like to get your thoughts on that, 9429 1116. I agree with that, but I just wonder why it's 5 weeks less than what Greg Williams got.
Well, Greg Williams was more of a shove. The umpire in question yesterday did say it was enough of a push to push me off my line. What stuns me is that there were two incidents. He was running towards goal. The umpire, Will, just fractionally touched him.
So the first one we were showing on TV wasn't the incident, was it? The melee one.
No.
This is one after he kicked a goal and the umpire was running in.
Yes, there was one where the umpire was running in towards goal. That was the specific incident that was referred to. There was another one where the umpire was running back. And Will apparently appeared to shove him backwards. For me, that was 100 times more severe because it seemed to be willful. Pardon the pun. I just don't understand why that incident was not brought to the tribunal's attention. Sam Landsberger, who was there for us at the Herald Sun yesterday, said no, quite clearly it was only that first incident.
Is a VFL tribunal.
Yes. But it did have Sol Turner on it. It had John Russo. Yes. I mean, they're pretty men without any stain of anything. They are absolutely beyond reproach.
But the VFL and the club, the prosecutors and defenders, they asked for a fine and the tribunal panel said no.
Yep.
It's not going to be a fine. He's going to be suspended for 4 weeks. So, but I'm happy for you can't touch an umpire, because if you go touching umpires, imagine what happens in juniors competitions, people going up and touching umpires. So that's the problem. So you've got to be very, very strict. I want to know why we have released the amount of, being so strict on people touching umpires from the days of Greg Williams to today.
So you wanted Will Minson to get 9 weeks?
Well, he had to get 9 weeks if Greg Williams got 9 weeks. That's what I'm saying.
I think we just want consistency.
That's the point.
Yeah, a photo's been doing the rounds on Twitter of Luke Hodge with his arm around an umpire, and it was more of a friendly thing, but as some people have pointed out, if you can't touch an umpire, how come Luke Hodge is about to? Now, I'm not suggesting Luke Hodge should be suspended for 9 weeks, but look, I think we
Well, again, the parameters, the AFL and the VFL have got to come out and tell the football public what are the parameters. Now, can Luke Hodge go up and just put his arm around the umpire? Can Minson just brush a person on the back? Can Greg Williams just brush a person away? Got 9 weeks for that.
And why can you get four weeks for touching a bloke when 30 seconds later you shove the bloke and that doesn't even come get called to account?
So the AFL and the VFL all combined have got to come out and say either what Greg Williams did is not worthy of 9 weeks. It's now we see that sort of contact as being 4 weeks. Or well, you can't touch an umpire at all.
Well, it's going to appeal on Thursday. I would hope that the AFL would clarify after that. But right now, we've got a real state of confusion, and that's the last thing we want. We want clarity from this situation, and instead, this is clear as mud.
So if an umpire, you know, I mean, in the Greg Williams one, the umpire, Andrew Coach, actually went up and touched Greg Williams first, put his hand on his side of his hip here.
Yep. But you would say that it was a more forceful push than the Will Minson situation.
Well, when you see the Greg Williams one, I don't think you'd say it was more forceful at all. It's just a wave away. I mean, it's hard. The Minson one's a fair way away, it's taken from a long shot. But again, you can't touch an umpire. All I'm saying is I'm being pedantic on him, and that is, why does one get 9 and the other gets 4? Where's the 5 weeks difference?
Over to you, Mark Evans.
Andrew is in height. G'day, Andrew.
G'day, boys. Yeah, I'm an Essendon supporter, so this Carlton thing's quite comical, but seriously, Barker needs to play the fringe players, but also just every player on the list, just to see if they can cut it with AFL, and also getting on the members not being able to vote. Sounds like it's getting run like North Korea down there.
I can't believe that Carlton fans have voted rubber stamped. You're telling me more than 75% gave up their voting rights at the Carlton Football Club. What's the point of being a member?
It doesn't. It staggers me about that. The one thing I'd say about Brett Ratten too. Did you see that Brock McLean's come out today and said, "Look, I felt like our game plan under Brett Ratten was really good and it's exciting, and all of a sudden Mick Malthouse came in and it was a lot more defensive." Maybe Brett Ratten's getting a few more admirers after the last 3 years under Mick Malthouse, because who came forward, who elevated their game under Mick Malthouse? I reckon Sam Rowe did. Sam Doherty has come through. But under Brett Ratten in the second last year, he had all these blokes who were starring. Off the halfback flank, we saw Chris Yaron. Off the halfback flank and forward, we saw Andrew Walker. I mean, he had 8 or 10 blokes up and running that weren't starring before that. So maybe Brett Ratten's getting a bit more kudos. I don't think he's going to come back and coach Carlton, but maybe he could be a senior contender for another role in the next couple of years.
DC's on the road. G'day, DC. Wants to talk about the Blues.
G'day, KB and Johnny. I was just listening to your take before on saying that the pressure's released from the board. Do you really think that you know, it's been released? Because I personally think it's going to increase even more to get the right coach. And second of all, it doesn't matter who coaches Carlton. The list isn't the greatest list going around. You can get, you know, you can go and get the best coach in the world, and I don't think anything will improve because the list isn't right. What do you think?
DC, look, I think the load is off the shoulders of the board as it is with Mick, because you know, what the board didn't know what Mick was going to be saying or what he was doing. And they had already sacked the coach in their mind, and they were trying to work out how they could actually get rid of Mick in a way that would sort of suit them at a particular point of time. And I'm certain they had lots and lots of meetings on how we're going to handle this. All this pressure has been building up and building up. So from that, they've got no pressure on them today with John Barker being the coach of the Carlton Football Club. They'd have a bit of a free mind today. So from that point of view, I think that loads off their shoulders. The same as off Mick, because both of them knew what was going to happen. But neither wanted to throw the first punch. And then Mick, obviously, yesterday got sick of it all when they said, look, have a look at you over the next couple of weeks. And he said, enough's enough.
And it was a release valve in that press conference, because Mick was seen to blow up the Carlton Football Club. So Mark Lagudice's statements, he'll coach till the end of the year. Stephen Triggs' words on Friday night.
Well, it's the second language of AFL football,
but
you know that.
But all of those things, though, they could just say, well, it's not our fault. We said all those things, but Mick blew the club up. So it was a release for all those missteps and all those mishaps of the last few months.
Now, Mick hasn't spoken yet. I only read a bit in the paper today saying that he's going to have a television interview.
Yep.
Do you know when that is happening? Which station is it happening with? What show is it happening with?
I think my only guess would be that I assume that most networks would throw some money at him. The footy show is the type of place where these guys tend to bob up. So I would assume that they would say, well, Mick, here's our price. And I would assume that whether it's Seven would say, Mick, we'll get you to do the tell-all interview, but we'll sign you up for the whole year. So I don't know. Is he looking for 40 grand from a tell-all or 200 grand for the whole year? I don't know. Mick's going to come out of this pretty well financially. Gets the tell-all interview, does some more stuff on the speaking circuit. He's got his $500,000 payout. Mick's coming up roses from a financial point of view.
We'll take a break. The Buzz has joined us. Always brought to you by Eco Garage Doors. Don't forget, in this month of May, so it's getting towards the end of May, so just a few days remaining, Eco Garage Doors are going to be donating $200. So that's right, $200 from every insulated garage door sold to your nominated sporting club or charity. So you buy an insulated garage door from Eco, and then you just nominate which charity you want it to go to, or which sporting club, and they'll send $200 on your behalf. So give Eco a call for a free quote on 9703 1500. That's 9703 1500. Or you can visit them online at ecogaragedoors.com.au to see their exclusive garage door profile.
On Hungry for Sports, which magical moment caught your attention over the weekend? Find out if it made Ralphie's buzzer beater.
Yes, the famous buzzer beater, and of course also he looks into his crystal ball and makes predictions. Who beat the buzzer this week?
Jared McVay in the grand final last year. I do a 1-44 ranking for what it's worth. I had him 40th of all those players. He had 5 touches to halftime and 11 to the final siren. He was horrific. He bounced back on the weekend against Hawthorn. Here's some of his highlights.
This time it's a quick ball inside 50, but without great direction. A lot of Hawthorn players around the prune here. Hanbury to McVay. McVay to an open goal square. Does it spin right? It does. Never count Sydney out. Back within a goal. Reece Short trying to sell some hand candy. Oh, what a ripping kick to McLean on the lead. He wanted to go. Gibson did well to corral. He's got McVay on. He comes at the footy. Stratton falls over. McVay goes into the open. An opportunity for Parker. Sydney are back in front by 5 points.
So there you go. He's 2 back. Goals. Set one up for Luke Parker. Single-handedly won him the game. He's back, baby. He's back. Now, I did get one of my predictions right a couple of weeks ago, which is rare for me, Kevin.
I can pump up your tyres
for you. Oh, thank you very much.
Don't pump up your own tyres because your crystal ball, you did say in a prediction from May the 13th that Mick Malthouse will not be coach of Carlton by the bye.
And, of course, the club said, well, you know, he still will be there at the bye. But they knew. They knew what Mick would do.
Would have been 100% spot on if Mick maintained the trust of the board for a further 2 weeks. This is what you had to say.
Yeah. My prediction is regarding Mick Malthouse and Mark Le Goudajay. I reckon by round 12.
Hang on, round 12.
We're going to have an agreement. I know that Mark Le Goudajay keeps saying we're just going to get going till the end
agreement,
of the year.
Agreement what?
Well, it'll either be that Mick walks away or that Mick is told that he won't be the coach next year and they will go searching for candidates while Mick's still actively involved.
So the crystal ball buzzer beater, so well done.
I think if I'd gone to TAB Sportsbet or Sportsbet or one of those facilities, I would have got about 3-1. I don't know that was a 100-1 tip. Now, my prediction for this Friday night is I think that we will see all of Bokhurst, Graham and Buckley in. I think we'll see quicker ball movement. I think we'll see a lot of ball movement through the corridor. I just think that Johnny...
And the margin?
I still think it could be 15 goals, but I think there's going to be something for some Carlton fans to hang their hat on. And that's really important. So Johnny's going to bring the fun back. It's going to be the fun factory there down at Icon Park.
There's been a lot of upsets when a new coach has taken over. Maybe this is one of the greatest upsets brewing. Johnny's in Altona Meadows, not happy with the AFL. G'day, Johnny.
Morning, KB and Ralph. I think I'm very disappointed with the AFL on the way they're making all these decisions on the run, particularly on the tribunal. Letting Fife get clear last week, not suspending Jeremy Cameron, throwing Will Minter under the bus when there was a St Kilda player on the weekend to touch an umpire. We know who McLaughlin follows. The AFL have got an agenda and making the Western Bulldogs be a scapegoat. Will Minter did not touch the umpire and the AFL is a complete joke and I will not be attending any more games.
Okay. Who was the St Kilda player that you say claimed that touched an umpire?
I believe it was Armitage on the weekend.
Do you know anything about that?
No, I haven't seen that. No, but I do believe that Jeremy Cameron should have been suspended. He went past the ball. The ball bobbled past him. He got was it Chaney, wasn't it? High. Was it to the head? No, but it was definitely to the shoulder.
That part of the shoulder there, from the shoulder up, is all part of the head.
Yep.
If you remember Campbell Brown, that time he ran
into
Barry Hall, and he said, I didn't hit him in the head, I only got him on the top of the shoulder.
Yeah, but my point was...
When you have a look at the AFL rule book, it's got a line drawn from the points of the shoulder, horizontal across. Anything above that is high.
Yeah, but if it had got him in the head and he had been concussed, it would have been even more forceful. So I do agree that anything above the shoulder is reportable, but I still think there is a difference between those two.
Coming back with your calls, 9429 1116. Also coming up, Brett Phillips with all the latest from the French. Frank Panisi, State of Origin tonight as well. You may want to have a chat to Frank and give your thoughts on that. Rowan Dummett always gives you a golf lesson on radio. And Martin Blake today filling in for Brian Waldron. Gazelle taking your calls on all things sports. Don't forget, get down to Eco Garage Doors. A few days left in May, because if you buy an Eco Garage door, they'll give $200 to your charity or your sporting club of your choice. So all you have to do is give them a buzz, 9703 1500, pick up the best garage door on the market, or you can go to ecogaragedoors.com.au to see their exclusive garage door profiles and their super smooth motors as well. So that special for the month of May is nearly coming to an end. So $200 to your favourite charity and also to your favourite sporting club. It's your choice. All you have to do is, when you buy a garage door, mention that, and all of a sudden they've got $200.
Bang.
Vince is from Carlton. G'day, Vince. G'day, Vince. We'll just leave Vince there. We'll come back to Vince. Stick is in Diamond Creek. G'day, Stick.
Hey, KB. How are you?
We're going great, along with the buzz.
200 points we'll win by, mate.
200 points.
Kev, that's Richmond round one next year, V.
Okay.
That's the early crow.
All right, so what's that? That's about, 32, 33 goals or something, isn't it?
We did get someone that pointed out that they are only 3 games out of the 8.
Yes.
We saw Richmond make a run. Now, we know that Judd and Gibbs are not there this week, but they get Cruiser back maybe this week. They get some of their stars back. Daisy's got a run under his belt. Maybe Jamison, maybe Henderson. You never know. John Barker might pull off a miracle, Kevin.
Yes. Well, others
not
are saying,
either.
Yeah. Why do you keep on saying Johnny Barker will coach the round 23? We're only 3 games out of the 8. That's David in South Yarra. Didn't Cameron get suspended but took an early plea? No. He got fined. And then I think he pleaded guilty, so it went from $1,500 down to $1,000, I think it was.
Okay, but you're back
once again, Juddy fronted media. Where was our missing captain in action?
Well, Mark Murphy has stood up every Monday morning and on radio interviews after heavy losses. I think he's done as much as he can in the media. Maybe he should have come out the front door this time, but I'm not going to whack Mark Murphy.
What's going to happen with the Betts investigation?
Not much. No, Trigg will be spoken to. I think that Mick clearly just threw something out there as a red herring to try and hurt his chief executive.
Buzz, we'll catch you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.